Well, it's a good thing we're doing a series on identity. Isabel doesn't even know her name, apparently. So hopefully we can help her out a little bit. One last announcement before we jump into the message this morning. Coming up on March 17th, we are having water baptism at our services. And so if you have never been water baptized, if you are a follower of Jesus, this is the next biblical step for you to go public with your faith. And what we are doing when we get water baptized, we are telling the story of our salvation. We go under the water, that we are showing that we are dying with Christ, dying to our sin. And we come up out of the water, we are showing that we are risen to new life in Christ. And again, so this is telling the gospel story with our water baptism. So again, if you have never been water baptized, or maybe you're water baptized as a baby and you don't remember, thank God for the faith of your parents. You getting baptized, though, as an adult doesn't undo the decision that your parents made, but this is you making the decision to go public with your faith. So if you've never been water baptized, you can sign up at the info desk after service, and then also you can sign up on our website. All right, week two of our series called True Image, talking about the subject of identity and how important this is for us as individual Christ followers. And specifically, this is a difficult subject within culture today. And so thank God that God's word has the answers for us before the problems even show up in our lives. And, you know, identity is such an important thing for us in our lives. You know, we can identify with a lot of different things. We can identify with sports teams. The Leafs had a good win last night. Go Leafs, go. I identify as a Leafs fan. What's amazing about the Leafs is they've never won the cup in my lifetime. Teams in Florida have won the Stanley Cup, and we're still struggling. Anyway, still a Leafs fan, die hard. We can identify with brands and companies. We can identify with political parties and movements, and these can be things that are important to us or not important to us or given to us, that there are certain things that have happened to us in our lives that contribute to our identity. And really, your identity is who you are. Your memories, your experiences, your relationships, your values, the characteristics that make up the person that you are. And again, some of the things as it relates to our identity, we didn't choose. Some of the things have happened to us. We've had traumatic experiences. We've had difficulties and struggles, and all of this make up the person that I am. But we have to, with intentionality, choose the image that we are having in our lives. And again, God has a lot to say for us to be able to choose our identity, our foundation in Him, because what we identify with becomes our foundation. And we have to be intentionally separate from all of the things that have happened to us at this moment and things that have happened to us in our family of origin, good or bad, that we have to be like, okay, how am I forming my identity as an adult, and what does Christ say about this? What does God say about this? And this is really important for us, again, as followers of Christ. What does God say about our identity? Because our identity will dictate how we function through life. So today, when we think about identity, there's a lot of philosophies related to identity. And really, philosophies just about ways, branches of thinking, and different types of philosophies will show up and through different decades and different things like that. So we want to address, because this is a confusing topic and culture has a very specific way of talking and discussing the idea of identity, we want to go back to the Word of God and see what God says about our identity, and so that we just don't adopt a way of thinking from the world. Here in Colossians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul is writing to the church of Colossae, and he's talking about some of these ideas, because like I said, philosophies and different ways of thinking will crop up through different centuries and through different decades, and they really have nothing to do with God, and a lot of times they're just sort of things in the cultural moment that have shown up, different ways of thinking through philosophy, through university, and different things like that. And what we want to do is identify what those things are and then not necessarily partake of them once we understand the root of those things. But here at Colossians chapter 2, verse 6, the Apostle Paul addresses this. It says this, "Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus, so walk in him, rooted, built up in him, established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving." So our roots go down in God. Really important thing, that our relationship with God speaks to our identity. Now, verse 8, here's the thought. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy, an empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. So here it begins, this bookends these thoughts. Our foundation in Christ, and then there's could be ways of thinking that don't include Christ. We shouldn't be taken captive by these things, philosophies, empty deceit, according to human tradition, and not, and the sort of the spirit of the world, the spirit of the age, and us just understanding what those things are. Let's talk explicitly about what they are. And then not just make a mockery of it, but then also say, what does God say about this? This is what the world is saying. And we could argue about it and fuss about it and make fun of it, which some of it I think kind of deserves that. But instead of just doing that, it's like, what does God say about this? What is God's answer to this situation? Because what we want to do is we want to find our identity in Christ. We just don't want to find our identity in contemporary philosophies. Because again, contemporary philosophies are going to be here today, gone tomorrow. And a lot of the talk around identity, as I mentioned about the Leafs not winning the Stanley Cup in my lifetime, when I was born, and probably when some of you were older than me, weren't for sure, and some of you younger than me too, there was no confusion around identity. It wasn't a problem. It wasn't a thing. It wasn't a philosophy being propagated in the world. When I was born, the year I was born, 1969, the last month of 1969, no one was struggling with identity. It wasn't a big deal. It wasn't a philosophy being put forward. So we don't want to just adopt that. We want to see what these philosophies are, identify them, but then also what does the Word of God say to us? So some of the current cultural philosophies and something like this, not exclusively to this, not exactly like this, but the spirit of these phrases that I'm going to say identify and show us the cultural moment that we live in, and is this: be your true self. Express yourself. Be your authentic self. Whatever you feel is who you are. And then the famous statement, what is your truth? Here's my truth. What's your truth? And ultimately, logically, that doesn't make any sense, because truth is transcendent. Truth, it doesn't just exist in me. It's not just domicile in me, and it's not just domicile in you. It exists separately from us. And we all have experiences, and this is what people are saying, again, what they're saying with this phrase is like, here's my experience, here's my life, here's my situations. But that's not the same as truth. Truth is something beyond us. And so, again, these phrases, they become to mean something. And then it just becomes a thing that we feel like we have to say and we have to talk this way. But I feel like God has something else for us to think and some other way for us to talk. Now, when we think about identity in the world today, there's two broad categories as it relates to identity. And there would be a traditional way of thinking about identity that your family would give you your identity. Somebody exterior from yourself would say something to you, the community at large, the government, somebody would tell you what your identity is. And then more of a modern or a contemporary way of thinking about identity, and this is the world we're living here in the West, it's more from the inside out. So the traditional way moved from the outside in, telling me who I am. And then here, this contemporary way is from the inside, from my feelings, from what's going on inside me today, that I'm going to decide who I am based on what I feel. Only I can decide what's true about me. I will validate myself based on what I feel, and I will find truth inside of myself, separate from anything to do with God, just me. Just me in this moment and just all of my experiences in life and what I'm absorbing and what I'm taking in, that I am going to decide something about myself. And this would be the cultural moment that we live here in the West. And generally, these ideas aren't questioned. It's just kind of the way we think, or the way we should think, or the way the good people think. And it's subtly imposed upon us. And again, it could just be the air we breathe, and we just think, well, this is the way we're supposed to think, and this is the way that we're supposed to talk. Now, there's, again, a cultural conversation happening about this, and the culture will end up somewhere. Unbounded secularism always does. But what we want to do today is we want to look at, what does the Word of God say? What is the third voice in all of this? what does God's word say about my identity? So I don't have to just fight this cultural conversation. It's like, oh, there's a third way. There's a third option than just getting in this fight. And what I would say about this way of thinking, that it's failing. It's not working. It's leading to depression and loneliness and a mental health crisis and the negative effects of social media and confusion and lack of purpose and lack of meaning, lack of peace, all of which is not contributable to this idea. But this is part of the problem in the world that we live in today. It's a very complex issue. And so what we want to do as followers of Jesus, and I can get a big amen after this, we want to go back to the Word of God. The Word of God already has the answer before the problem showed up. And so we just don't want to engage in the cultural conversation. We want to say, God, what do you say about this topic? Because, man, the Word of God, thank God, has so much to say about this. So we're not lost. We're not lost on our own. We read this verse last week, Acts chapter 17, verse 28. First part of it says, in him we live and move and have our being. As we go through this series, we're going to see a bunch of verses that say, in him, in Christ, through him. And all of these things that follow will give us our identity. So it's not something that I just have to try to figure out, that I can identify with what God says about me because he identifies me as this. I don't have to be lost in trying to choose something. The first song we sang today, if you were here at the beginning of the service, it was a really good song. It's like, I am who you say I am. How important is that idea? Not just who I think I am or who I feel like I am in this moment. It's God, who do you say that I am? And then I identify with that. I identify with what you say about me, and that's an important thing. So these phrases, in him, in Christ, through him, and we're going to see this all the way through the series. So the traditional way of finding your identity and the modern way are both lacking, but it's never lacking in Christ. In Christ is all that we need as it relates to our identity. So this series is called True Image. And so image, we're going to get our image for ourselves or identity for ourselves from the image of God. Really, image just means resemblance, likeness. It means a holy and blessed state of mind. And right back to those first few verses, Paul said we're going to be rooted. Our faith is in Christ. And we want to avoid the things that are not in Christ. And so we want to have this heavenly state of mind, not be captured by the philosophies of the world. See, here's the deal. We don't have to think in accordance to the ways of the world, even though we're pressured to, even though we feel like, oh, we should. If I don't think this way, somebody might not like me, and if I don't say the right thing, it's like, but all that it is a way of thinking. We can think a different way. It's still a free country, right? We don't have to think in accordance to the ways of culture. It would be detrimental to us to not think the way God wants us to think as it relates to our identity. So in Christ, as we said last week, our identity is received from God. It's not achieved. It's not an accomplishment that I have. And it's not chosen, that I'm not choosing it, but I'm going to receive something from God and what he says. So last week, we talked about this idea that we are made in the image of God and then remade, new birth, new life in Christ made us, and then he has made us new. And so this idea, as we continue on in the series, is this idea that we are children of God. Now, this phrase can be used a lot of different ways today. Some people say, well, everybody's a child of God. But then there's also this other phrase synonymous to child of God, and it is child or children of light. And so when we think about being a child of God because he's made us and then he's remade us in Christ, that we are in his family, this means as children of God that he is our father. Now, again, sometimes we struggle with the notion of father. If you've had a bad relationship with your father or if you had a bad father, sometimes the notion of father is a difficult thing. But when we think about the Father God, he is the perfect father, the ultimate father. Amen? He is the most loving, giving, generous, and full of instructions that we need, Father. He's both of these things. This is what fathers do, good fathers do. And so our Heavenly Father is like this. And so he has something to say, our Father God, if the identity given to us, which we will see here in Scripture, the identity given to us is that I'm a child of God. I identify as that because God has identified me as that, child of God. Now, I don't know if you've driven up northern Ontario or somewhere sort of outside the city. If you get going towards cottage country at some point, you might have seen, like, people are doing this more and more now, like kind of the side of the road where the highway has been blown through rocks, that people will stop on the side of the road and build sort of these rock structures. Have you seen these? Has anyone been outside of the city? Just do it sometime this summer. It's a beautiful province, okay? So people are like piling these rocks, and then somebody builds some sort of other structure and all of that. And just it's really interesting to see. And what do we know? What do we think when we see these different types of rocks, maybe a similar size, piled up in a certain way, like 10 rocks high? What do we think? It's like, Pastor Brent, I don't know what you're talking about. It's a pile of rocks. Not a big deal. What we think is somebody did that. Somebody piled those rocks up. Right? Somebody was there to have influence on these rocks. And this is what I say about you. I'm looking at you and you're looking back at me. There's these amazing things in the middle of your head that actually take a signal from the world around us and use light photons to transfer a signal back to your brain so that you can see something. And you have something else in the middle of your face that helps you to smells and sense. And you've got ears on the top of your head that help you hear things and help you hear good preaching on a Sunday morning. And you have a respiratory system and a pulmonary system and a digestive system. And what I would say about you is that somebody made you. Amen? And has influence on you. And he doesn't just call you his creator. He's calling you. He's saying about himself, I am your father. Amen? The best kind of father. If we are children, then he is our father. And what that means to us is that I'm not my own authority figure. I didn't make myself, so I can't define myself. I have been made, and I'm a child. I'm a son and a daughter of God. I'm not my own authority figure. I'm not in charge of my life because my life has been given to me. John chapter 1, verse 10 says this. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. Came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. So again, it's not children of God just because we exist. It's like, oh, I'm believing in his name. And then he's identifying me as his child. That is a good identity. That is something for me to choose. Why? Because God chose it for me. That I believe in who he is and what he stands for and what he accomplished for me on the cross. And then what does he say about me? I am a child of God. And again, that means I'm in submission to the Father. Even as an adult, I'm a child of God. I'm still living under God's authority. I'm not letting the identity, a traditional way of thinking, identify me. And I'm not letting the contemporary way that I would define myself, that wouldn't be my identity. God has chosen my identity. What is it? I'm his child. I'm his son. I'm his daughter. Who were born not of blood nor of the flesh or the will of man, but of God. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 says this. For in Christ, here's the phrase, in Christ, here's where we're gonna get our identity. Jesus, in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. Not just by existence, but by trust. I'm trusting him, putting my trust in him, and then I'm his child. I'm gonna believe what he says about me. I'm gonna trust his words, not just find words that are just happening in culture in an unbounded way that just happens to be the decade I'm living in. No, God says something about me. God has defined me a certain way, that I am his child. Mark chapter 10, verse 15 says this, "Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." So God is not wanting us to be childish. He's wanting us to be childlike. And what does that, what does childlike mean? It's like young children believe what their father says. Teenagers, eh, not so much. But children, dad said it, I believe it, right? And then you get in grade 10, you think you understand everything about everything. It's like, dad, shut up, you don't know anything. We've all been there. But children believe what their father says. So what is it gonna take for us to operate like a child? Because if we don't have this attitude, we're not gonna enter into the kingdom of God. What is it gonna take? Humility. So I'm not adopting a traditional way of discovering my identity or a contemporary modern one. I'm gonna be like, God, what do you say about me? I'm gonna humble myself to that. I'm gonna humble myself to the ways of my father because I'm a child of God. This is who I am. This is who he's made me to be. This is who he has identified me to be. So I identify myself this way. I'm a child of God. So I'm gonna humble myself. I'm gonna yield myself. I'm gonna submit myself to the ways of God. So humility is necessary for this way of thinking, this way of identifying yourself. And again, it's better. It's better than what, see, you can do the other thing. We can do the other thing because it's being dictated to us. But this is a better way to live our lives in submission to our Father and our Creator. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 6 says this, "Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes on the son of disobedience." Now, again, people don't like this phrase, the wrath of God. It makes them nervous. And Annie read it in her verses this morning that she was reading. But real quickly, and if you're, you know, if you've been around, you've heard me talk about this, but it's important. We got new people. God is not wrath. He has wrath. God is love and he is holy. And that means that sin upsets him. Why does sin upset God? Because it destroys your life. That's why it makes God upset. That's why God has wrath, because sin makes him upset, because it destroys your life and it destroys the people around you. So this is why it makes him angry, because he loves you. And only parents can truly have wrath as it relates to their own children, right? Have you ever seen a child having a tantrum in the mall? Hopefully it wasn't yours. And then you're like, you know, that parent, what is happening on their face? There is wrath. But that's not my child, so I'm like, I can just walk right by. Like, no, I'm not getting involved. But is that parent wrath? Are they wrath? No, because they have love for their child. This behavior makes them angry. God is love and he is holy. Therefore, sin engages his wrath, but he is not wrath. All right? Important thing to note. "Therefore, do not become partners with them." Verse 8. "For one time you were in darkness, but now you are the light of the world. Walk as children of light." Children of God, children of light, synonymous terms. That we should live our lives according to the light that God gives us. The fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. Try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. So the children of God live to not just please themselves and how they think and feel and how they're dictated to think and feel from the world. No, I want to please the Lord. Why? Because I'm a child of God. I'm going to walk in the light. What does it mean to walk in the light? Light just means understanding. And what we need to understand, again, is that in God, we have an inheritance. The scripture says we are joint heirs with Christ. And good fathers leave an inheritance for their children. And I'm hopeful, if you have a good father, that he leaves you a really big inheritance and then you tithe off of it. Now, what do we understand about God when we have light about who God is? That he is a God of blessing. And then also that we can walk in the light of his promises, walk in the light of his power, walk in the light of the ways that he has for us to live. And then what does the scripture say? There's fruit in that. Walking as children of light. This is how he has identified us in Christ. And so we identify ourselves as children of God, children of light, walking in the ways pleasing to God. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14 says this, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. So what kind of children are we? Obedient children. So we have a choice as it relates to obedience. So we're gonna obey the voice of God, the ways of God, or be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. In other words, you didn't know. This is what that means. But what do we know about our passions? If we were just to live according to our passions, our lusts, that's lust just means strong desires of our flesh, what would our lives look like? Do you know what the passions of your flesh are? Do you mean to tell you? You're a big girl, big boy, right? You know what they are. And if you just do the passions of your flesh because you're ignorant, you didn't know, what would your life look? That's all that you would do. That's all that you would eat. That's all that you would spend your time with. But we aren't that. What are we? Obedient. Children, do we have any obedient children to the Father in the room this morning? Come on. This is how God identifies you. I know you don't want to be responsible putting your hand up, but this is who God says we are. Why does he want us to obey him? Because he knows the way of life. The scripture says Jesus came that we would have life and have it more abundantly. The creator of life knows how we should live our lives, and this is why he wants us to obey him, because he knows best. The old TV show, Fathers Knows Best. That's way old. I've never actually seen that show. But the Father God knows best. And we should obey him. Amen. So it should be my desire to walk in the light of God's word. Matthew chapter 6, verse 22 says this, the eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye, in which you see, is healthy, then your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? Light, again, means to see, to comprehend, to understand. The eye is the lamp, and if your eye is healthy, if I'm looking at the ways of God, thinking the thoughts of God, my whole body, my whole life is full of light. But then it says, if your light is darkness, the things you see and the choices that you're making are being informed by darkness or the ways of the world, then our whole lives will be full of darkness. And we all know, and we're old enough to know that at some point all of us have been prodigal children and we've done our own thing, and we know the end of that thing is destruction, death. But following the ways of God is always light. Psalm 119, 105 says this, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path, that I would see and know and understand the things that you say to me. This is what the Apostle Paul prayed for the church at Ephesus, the epistle prayers that we pray at worship and prayer night, that they would see and comprehend and know the hope of their calling and the exceeding greatness of your power to us who believe, that we would be able to know what God has provided for us, to be able to see what his word says to us. Psalm 36, verse 9. For with you is the fountain of life, not the fountain of youth, the fountain of life, that God gives life the way it should be lived. And in your light, do we see light, the light that God provides from his word and from his ways and from his promises and from his power and from his instructions is the light we need for our lives. Children of God, children of light. John 8, verse 12 says this again. Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. I don't want to walk in darkness. I just don't want to walk in the ways of secularism. I want to walk in the light of my creator and my loving heavenly father. James 1:17 says this. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Scripture says, God says, I am the Lord God, I change not. God is good, and he's not gonna start being bad with you. He is the Father of lights. All of the good gifts that come in our lives are coming from God, our good Father, our loving Father. And he wants us to walk. He wants us to identify. He wants us to say, we are the children of God. We are the children of light. I'm not playing the other game. And I'm not going to be a hateful person either, but I'm not playing the other game. I'm a child of God. It's a better thing to say. It's a better thing to believe. It's a better thing to walk out. And then finally, the good news is that we don't have to do this alone. And the good news is as we move into group season, you know, we don't have city groups here at churches because it's a cute idea. It's really important. We all need community. We shouldn't be living this life alone. Jesus had 12 disciples. He didn't have one. All followers of Jesus are called to be building the church. In other words, to be part of the group, part of the family. And one thing we know for sure that'll make your church experience better is not that my preaching will get better, although I'm hoping to get better all of the time, or that our worship team will get better and they're doing great, but we can always improve, is that if you have friends here, someone else who's following Jesus, somebody else who identifies as a child of God, a child of the light, and that we can live this life together, that we can be there for each other in the highs and lows of life, to help each other to walk in the light, to walk in the ways of God, so that we don't get captured by the philosophies of the world. That we're doing this and walking out life together as we finish 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. We're not supposed to do this alone. The blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Let's pray today. God, we love you so much. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you, Lord, that you call us your children. That you call us children of light. And so, God, we with intention today, on purpose, say that we want to be your obedient children. We just don't want to follow the ways of the world, the pathway of the wicked, the spirit of the age. God, you have something to say about my identity as a good, loving, heavenly Father. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, today before we go, if you are here this morning and you have never said yes to Jesus, never made Jesus the Lord of your life, I'm gonna lead you in a prayer here in a second. Just everybody needs a starting place with God to say yes to Jesus. And the reason that we can say yes to Jesus is because of the gospel, the good news, that Jesus came, lived a sinless life, died on the cross, God raised him from the dead. And because all of that happened, God has made a way for us to have a relationship with himself, and it just comes as a free gift. We don't qualify for it in our morality because none of us have perfect morality. Scripture says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But it's a gift that God offers to us, and all we have to do is say yes. So if that's you today and you have never said yes to Jesus, never made him the Lord of your life, I invite you to pray along with me. Or maybe you're in a second category where you used to feel like you're close to God, used to be in a relationship with God, but you feel really distant from him today. Maybe something happened along the way. Something happened in a church context. You know, the God is not mad at you. God is inviting you close to himself again. So church, let's all bow our head and close our eyes and let's pray this prayer out loud, praying with somebody who might be praying it for the first time or somebody might be rededicating their life to Christ. God, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you that he lived a sinless life. He died on the cross and you raised him from the dead so I could know you. So today I say yes to that relationship. I say yes to your righteousness. God, I call you my Father. Jesus, I call you my Lord. God, I purpose to follow after your ways, and I turn from my own. I thank you for salvation today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Come on, let's celebrate with those who made that decision for the first time today. Hey, if that was you, if you made a decision to follow Jesus, or if you rededicated your life to him, we are so excited for you. Take a moment to fill out the Connect card in the seat pocket in front of you. Check off, I have decided to follow Jesus, and turn that in into our info desk there in the main lobby. We're going to have a team that's going to celebrate with you. And as well, they have some free resources for your new journey of faith available for you. And we're so excited just to get that into your hands. Hey, before I dismiss, I just want to recap some of the announcements that the girls made earlier in the service. When you exit the auditorium, you are going to see a bunch of balloons and a bunch of our city team leaders there. They are going to have these blue lanyards. And so if you're just interested in joining a city group, like Pastor Brent said, it's going to fundamentally change your church experience. Get plugged into a city group. You can go and talk to one of those leaders. Maybe you just want to make sure they're not super weird. They're totally normal. Go ahead and chat with them. And as well, if you just need to get connected about serving at CCLN or signing up for water baptism, the info desk is going to be your place to go. Let me invite you to stand before we dismiss. If you came to church this morning hoping for someone to pray with you or for you, our leaders will be available here at the front of the stage right after service. They're making their way down actually right now, and you can feel free to go up to any one of them and they will pray with you. Thank you so much for joining us this morning, City. We love you so much. Have a great week. We'll see you next Sunday at 8:30, 10:15, or noon. We love you. You are dismissed.